A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiya, before we get into this podcast, please consider joining us on Red Men Plus. We have tons of amazing content coming out every single day in both podcast and video form. So get over there and sign up today. Now back to your podcast.
Hey, everyone. It is the Red Men Podcast.
Fucking hell, my head looks shiny on that.
Jesus Christ. Shiny head. And the quickest demonetization has ever been on a YouTube video.
Not
of
bad.
All
impressive. Taking me record.
No, because the pre-roll counts.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Doesn't
that.
Sorry.
Shiny-headed Steve Hall.
So bad.
And Chris Pajak as well in the studio for this one. Are you going to...
Wow.
He's Fred Durst, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a shiny spot on the top.
Looks well worse. Magic Pockets on the Amiga back in the day. Don't put it that way. We don't have that. Next week's day.
You and your MAGA car.
Right. Sad. Yeah, we're going to discuss Liverpool draw with Palace, and as you can tell, we're so keen to get on with that.
The audio listeners, I do apologise. Basically, my head looks really shiny under these new lights.
I don't know if he's made that clear enough, but his head's very shiny.
I had a shave the other day.
What do you use to shave?
I don't want to say because I'm not sponsored by anyone yet, but
you don't have to say. No, what do I use?
I use a razor. It's an electric.
A lawnmower.
It doesn't need that. It's on like the lowest setting possible. Like it's not like and you get number five. Like it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But I've got a beard trimmer and I use that on my head as well. I put the clip on for my beard, mm-hmm. and without for the head. Nice. Yeah, because I do get the, like, there's an egg in the nest that grows quite quickly as well. That, to be fair, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
The top of the head, yeah, it's really shiny. So, yeah, I'm moisturised, and I think I wonder if that's what's going on.
But it's looking. You look resplendent.
I look like a bowling ball.
Yeah, there is a bit of that. It's a bit like when they're like, Big Lebowski, when they're shining up the balls in the little sack.
They've gone really, like, blonde on top.
Is it grey?
I think it might be grey.
I do get a bit of...
the sun that's affected it, hasn't it?
I get some beard as well, so I think it is a bit grey. Yeah, but listen, we go again.
I really don't want to talk.
We don't grow again, though,
really
do you?
No,
we don't grow again.
Yeah.
Grass, was it Moss Crane, growing busy street, that's what it is.
Yeah.
My head's constantly busy.
I love how there's a saying for everything like that. It's like, there's a saying for, it's a very Scouse thing, I think. You know what I mean? Like, there's a saying for lots of things that you would normally have the piss taken out of you.
Basically, you're a ball, get on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like the one for, there's one for when fellas have only got daughters, there's something to do with like.
Only real men can father a daughter or something like that, isn't it? Yeah, I've said that before.
There's loads of random ones, it's like the tall one, it's like, you know, I'm the first to know when it rains, great, great, well done, yeah, it's boss. Kick-off question. As we approach the chat about Crystal Palace,
how long can we put that off for? Let's see.
We'll see. Yeah. What's your at Nebenson on Twitter asks the question: what's your favourite incident of a footballer seeing the red mist like Nunes the other day? I've got a few.
Throw them out.
The first one that came to mind was Lee Bowyer and Kieran Dyer scrapping on the pitch. Just like just in the middle of a football match,
the pitches that are mad because they are so angry. Like they are, like it isn't just like it's a proper kill, like don't like each other. Real proper anger in that one.
My least favourite, for the point of like we thought that it was asked, remains Steven Gerrard getting sent off against Manchester United after coming off. Honestly,
yeah, I know why that's your least favourite.
Yeah,
like 10 seconds after coming on the pitch
because I was on Sky's fan zone with Steve Elson.
What did you just said when Steven Gerrard came
like
on?
Something like, here he comes, the man for the big occasion. It's a shame, the word
just left your mouth when.
Oh, he's off. Oh, he's off. He's off, isn't
he? You wasn't wrong.
No, I was.
He was a man for the week. He did change the game.
Yeah.
I mean, Zidane is just, although he was one of my favourite footballers ever, it's infinitely funny to see him completely lose it in a World Cup final and throw that headbutt in. That's ridiculous. Like, how you can lose it so much for a proper big game player who'd been there, won it and everything. Like, we're talking, and we will talk a little bit about Nunes, 23 years old or whatever, first game in front of Anfield, who loses it because the defender's been leaning on him all game long. We're talking about Zizou, who'd won everything.
It was an exclamation point still on loses his entire career, wasn't it? Was that even the final game, wasn't it? I love that. I love that. Right, my favourite non Liverpool player probably of all time, non-goalkeeping, non-Liverpool. I just love it. I love the fact that, like, just punctuate it. Bang. Brilliant. It's a wonderful. That's my point.
He got through it, didn't he?
Exactly.
He didn't
that's
stop.
If you're going to sent off and nutting someone, nothing. Put them through the floor.
I've always said this. If you're going to throw a punch or don't or headbutt, at least do it. Like, you're going to get sent off, you might as well do something about it, rather than one of these little lame...
We get so many disappointing red cards. So it was mentioned on the debate show, because we were doing a topic on the debate show this week about if you could erase your memory of any Liverpool player, who would it be? Just completely wipe your memory of them. And one of the club legends shouted Markovic. And Steve Plunkett brought up like his red card when he was just like, he kind of reached out behind him and touched someone's eyeball. It's like, and then that was the end of his Liverpool career, effectively. He had that little purple patch.
That wasn't
was quite
the end
good.
Of his Liverpool career.
No, I mean, if any was, wasn't he? He stayed at the club for five more years after that.
I ended his Liverpool career. Nobody else.
Yeah. Chris shut down Pajak.
Pepe, remember Pepe, and he got sent off like slapping Iron Robin with a tart. He should have just chinned him. You're going to get sent off. I've got to come over this. First of all, Jamie Carragher throwing the quid back at the Arsenal fan. Oh. Because if someone throws a pound, like, if I throw a quid at someone, I should expect to get back thrown in my face.
That's what
who are you throwing it at?
Well,
didn't see who's you threw it. Hilarious, regardless. Yeah. He's like
Jamie has a little bit of a prize for collateral damage around retaliation, admittedly. Like, but unless he knew specifically who he was aiming for, and if he has, and he's hit them spot on. I did see some of Jamie Carragher's long range passing over the years of his Liverpool career, and I wouldn't, you know, unless he was aiming for Peter Crouch in the crowd, I'm not saying it necessarily. No,
I reckon he knew. Innately knew and got, yeah, fair enough. I like that one. I was off the field.
Just gets a handful of change
ups. Scattered on the premise. Use it guilty by association.
Shotgun over sniper.
Worms airstrike. I'll get one of you bastards. Yeah, I've got collateral damage. Me and Chris once went out to watch the Super Bowl in Beer Killer. Remember this one? And Joey Barton was in the place.
Right, you were telling this to me. I didn't realise this is something you should witness firsthand.
Yeah, me and Chris...
I thought this was just something that
me and Chris went out to Beer Killer to watch the Super Bowl a few years ago now, and Joey Barton was there with some of his mates, and there was a big queue for the beer, and he tried to walk to the front, and the girl said something, and he said something along the lines of, like, it was kind of like the, do you know why I'm kind of thing, and this girl's like, I've got no idea who you are, get to the back of the queue.
Are you in the Arctic Monkeys?
So, is it Leighton Baines?
Yeah. Are you a professor or a scally? And anyway, loads of people started laughing at him, and he took umbrage with it, and he ends up outside and just fighting, and these lads just leaving him because he tried to big time it. To be fair, he chimmed one, I think he did anyway, and yeah, he got swiftly carried away by his mates. But you can see why, like, he's had the red mist in footy. Obviously, remember the City Aguero game? Everyone remembers the goal. You forget Joey Barton losing his shit and throwing boots and everything. Well, he lost it in that night in Beer Killer. It was really funny. I mean, the best moment was as he was getting dragged away, a drunken Chris Pajak shouting abuse at him from like 500 yards.
Like three levels above him. He had no chance to come and get me. And I had my exit plan all sorted out. I'm basically running back into Beer Killer. Hiding in the cube in the women's. There's no way he's finding me.
Yeah, so that was Joey Barton losing it when some girl who didn't know who he was and everyone started laughing about it. Loads of American football fans as well, with big burly lads, and Joey Barton trying to gig. It was really funny. So that's probably
there's a few other ones, isn't there? Who was the former City player? Bosnian, was he? Jacko? Mm-hmm. Is he Bosnian? He played, I don't know.
it was, I don't know whether it was a qualifier for a World Cup or it might have been in a World Cup or something, and he gets fouled and he turns around and pulls the lad's shorts down and gets sent off for it. Like, that's just like, I mean, come on, mate. Are you really going to do that to me? You punched him in the middle of what he failed and got sent off.
Is that red mist?
I think, well, what else is it? Is that stupid? Is it all red mist?
Well, it's something, and that in the red mist befell my wife this week at the weekend. It's a story I'll tell on Podcast Extra, but that was her exact response to being wound up in a situation. I can't possibly tell it on this podcast.
Can you let me know if it was your dad or not?
But I will tell it on Podcast Extra after this, over on Redman Plus. So yeah, we'll have more random questions.
Did it happen, and were they wearing ballies or boxies?
You'll have to wait. Right, yeah.
Oh, no underwear.
We'll be answering more of the questions and, giving answers that we can't possibly give on the public podcast. So if you want that, I want for three of us chatting more random shite, then do head over to Redman Plus. We're going to be going live pretty much after this. If you're already a subscriber over there, if you watch it live, then get signed up now, and then you should be able to be online by the time we go live. With that, right, sounds, we are going to be discussing the Crystal Palace. I'm the Darwin Nunes, Red. If you have got any of your favourite footballer red miss situations, let us know in the comments if you're live here on YouTube or a club legend as well. And then we're also going to be talking about Man United later on as well as that. Right, short break from us and then into Palace.
It is fucking August. It's baking hot. I'm not filming this in July in the middle of a heatwave. And we've got an incredible club legend competition for you this August. It is a signed Rome 77 shirt, and it's signed by none other than the man, the myth, the legend, Phil Thompson. To be involved, if you're a club captain, go over to redmenplus.com and upgrade your subscription to Club Legend. If you're brand new to Redmen TV, then get over to redmenplus.com. Sign up as a club legend, you could win this incredible prize and other prizes that we give away for some reason every single month.
Hey, yes, welcome back.
Time code this. Someone time code this. This is the bit where we start talking about football.
Yeah. We were talking about football just then. What are you talking about? Joey Barton. I mean, I know technically he was on a day off and he was watching American football. Well, here we go.
Time code this.
Liverpool won. another day, another draw. Does it matter to use, I'll start with you, Chris, that the circumstances and the method in which it was achieved, or is it just, it's a point, and a point's a point, and we should be disappointed with the point?
I think it does matter, to be honest with you. I don't think I was as down as some people after the game. I think that's fair to say. I saw a lot of people, to be honest with you, just absolutely raging and stuff. And, you know, I'll be honest, I could see why it happened. I'd watched Anderson rail Nunes all game long. Holy basically shit. And so it was, you know, he'd been done by a Premier League defender, and that can happen. The most disappointing part was, if he'd have stayed on the field, I'm not sure anything changed.
Yeah,
that's worse for me. You know, it wasn't until there was a reaction from the sending off from the crowd that Liverpool started to play football. And, you know, the fears going into this season for me were, are Liverpool a better side than they were at the end of last season? And the answer always for me, all summer long, and I don't know how many times I've said it, was we're a worse side for not having Sadio Mane and bringing Nunes in the first few games of the season. Mm-hmm. Now, Liverpool, to win the league this season, I believe, needed to start strong and keep up until they got to the point where they were firing on all cylinders, when Nunes was perfectly integrated. Now, as it turns out, where the injury players are back into the side and stuff, and we look a little toothless up front. Mm-hmm. We looked a little, after that first 15 minutes, I thought we played really well in the first 15 minutes. I thought we played some really nice football, and we kind of ran out of ideas and didn't trust in the process.
Yeah.
And then we started lumping balls into Nunes' head. And at that point, Crystal Palace gained a little bit of confidence and a little bit of ground in the game. They came and played 5-4-1. You know what I mean? Their battle plan was, we're going to hit you on the break. And their battle plan worked.
Yeah.
And it nullified us, and they created opportunity after opportunity. Some of them were offside, you know, some of them weren't. And some of them were saved by Alisson. Some of them, when they were offside, were saved by Alisson. But after that point, from 15 minutes until the sending off, Liverpool didn't really do enough for me. And that's the disappointing thing. I mean, you know, I've seen people talk about Salah was too wide. Well, actually, that's, I think, was, and we mentioned it during the pre-season games, that was always going to be the plan, it looked like, this season. Salah was going to get more chalk on his boots and start running at players and getting involved. Different when you're playing a four at the back or a three at the back to a five at the back. Because Nathaniel Klein, you know, on one side did a really good job sticking to Luis Diaz and making it completely impossible for him to get away. And on the other side, the left back did a good job of staying near Salah and keeping him out of the game. Yeah, he was good. So the disappointment is Liverpool aren't there yet, and we're not going to be any better for having Roberto Firmino, Diaz and Salah than Nunes firing on all cylinders for the next three games. We've got to grind now, make no mistake about it, for three games and get 9 points. Otherwise, we're going to be too far back too early on into this season to make it count.
Yeah.
And there's another year wasted. And this shades of 2003 Benitez.
Yeah. It feels to me...
See why we were trying to avoid this conversation.
No.
And I'm feeling good about it.
Where the fuck did that go? Fucking hell, sucker punch there. I was like, oh, great. You know what? Yeah, I'm not in the mood for swinging punches. Okay, it was me walking in with my hands behind my back here. Fucking hell, Chris Payne just come windmilling out.
For me, the result is huge. You can't get away from it. That's the thing, is that ultimately, you can play badly and still get it on out of a game and you just move on. And we've done it before. I think you can,
but the moment you go down to 10 men, I think the expectation that you should definitely get something out of the game evaporates.
It's great to see the fight. It's great to see that reaction. The worrying thing is, without it, there was no reaction.
Yeah. I think.
Well, that we know.
If you want to look, the very, very minor positives are, we played crap in the first game and didn't lose, and we went down to 10 men down and didn't lose. They're like the minor positives, but you can't get away from the fact that you've got 2 points on Fulham and Palace. And that's ultimately, that should have been a bank of 6 points. Who knows? Because I guess City go to Fulham and win. I know Palace took points off them last season, but you'd imagine Palace.
And the season before.
So you'd like to hope that they don't, but like, maybe City might be Palace. All I've said is, it doesn't rule us out of anything, but it means that we have to go somewhere and win.
You imagine if errors decrease.
Well, we have to go somewhere and win a game where a draw or even a loss isn't the end of the world. I keep referencing, we might have to go to the Etihad and win now, or you might have to go to Tottenham and win, or to Chelsea and win. Or, you know, even like United next week, where a draw at Old Trafford historically has been all right. You've got to win. Yep. That's where we found now. You've lost your lives. You can lose what? There's 114 points available, something like that. Is the right? You can lose 20 points a season. We've lost four in the first two games. We've got 16 points to lose now in 30 odd other games.
Yeah.
And we don't look like a team at the moment who's going to go on that run.
You can sprinkle draws and defeats throughout the season. It's fine. We keep talking about, like, City lost three games last season and what, drew four or five. You know, that's your margin of error if you want a 90 plus point season. However, it's the psychological hump of, if you're already 4, 6, 7, 9 points behind after 5, 6 games of the season, you're playing a different game. You end up in a battle for top four, and that's what that looks like. And that's what I was saying. We did this chat on the debate show yesterday. Of this feels already like 2008, 2009, 2010. It feels like 2014-15, it feels like 2002-2003. It's got that, like, after coming so close, and that this is how normally we start seasons, after coming so close and facing disappointment at the end. But equally, it is two games played, and not and this is not those teams. This is still largely the best team that we've ever had. But I agree, so your point is what I'm driving at there, is that ultimately it is 2 points. But the circumstances are important to the discourse of it, and you're right. Is that we were much better this time around than we were at the weekend. It didn't get us any more points, but I feel at least it proves that there's no lack of desire on the players' part. If we perform the same 2 weeks on the bounce and we've been out fought and out muscled and out desired, I'd be thinking, shit, that's a problem. I don't know if it's more of a problem that we've lost in two different... we've drawn... There's a psychological loop there. Whether we've drawn in two different ways is more of a problem or not. Probably not. but I was encouraged to see how pissed off the players were and how pissed off the crowd were. You know, we didn't turn on the Liverpool players, we didn't turn on ourselves. Everyone got behind the mutual cause of fuck Crystal Palace. We want to try and win this game. I think we'd have all been more encouraged had we managed to nick something, of course. But
yeah, I think for me, like looking back at last season on the whole, it was the draws I think that cost us the league title. And the evidence of this season so far is we've started with two draws.
Yeah.
That's a worrying concern and a continuation of what was happening at the start of last season as well. Maybe not the first couple of games, but certainly in that first sort of 3 months and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So the big problem for Liverpool right now, for me anyway, is that we don't look good up front yet. Mm. And that's to be expected, because we've lost Sadio Mane and we've brought in Nunes. And the big encouragement is, you know, Diaz found the shooting boots.
Yeah.
That's a big encouragement. And he was dog shit up until the point he put that ball into the back of the net, to be quite honest with you, and blunt about it. I thought he was terrible.
Yeah.
I thought Liverpool couldn't get him into the game. I thought we couldn't find any space. And credit to Nathaniel Clyne. Yeah. He was completely on him, a yard away the entire time. It was when Diaz was coming back to the halfway line, Clyne, he went up there because he knew he had four lads behind him and he was able to do it. It was game plan.
Yeah.
Like, but that's a concern in and of itself. You know, when a team plays the way that they want and their game plan works, you've got to be a little bit concerned about that.
Yeah.
Especially when Liverpool's game plan didn't work. You know, when Crystal Palace kind of knew what Liverpool were going to try and do, you know, we've seen maybe that Diaz isn't necessarily the finisher over the last 6 months, but he is an architect for us. When you take him out, Liverpool therefore struggled to get the ball into Nunez's feet and Salah's feet in areas where they can do a little bit of damage. So that's a concern at the moment for me, to be honest with you. I think that the midfield wasn't great. You know, there was bright sparks from Elliott, but it wasn't until we went to a two-man midfield, essentially, with Henderson and Fabinho, and took, you know, threw a little bit of caution to the wind, and we got Trent a lot higher and a lot more inside and a lot more involved, that we started to create things. Because at that point, Crystal Palace's game plan went out the window for what our first 11 was going to do.
Yeah.
So I can understand why we had more success. We did something completely we've never done before, and Crystal Palace didn't react to it.
Yeah. I disagree slightly in that. I thought Diaz was quite good for the first 15. I thought Elliott was brilliant in the first 15. But I agree. Well, actually, I think we keep doing this. I did this in my initial assessment of it. I went back and watched the first half an hour again, and it's actually more like the first 20-25 half an hour than 15. I always psychologically.
I thought we were brilliant until the second they scored.
Yeah,
I don't think we reacted well to their goal till half time.
That's the point. I think we were fine. We were absolutely fine, as you're right, until about the half hour markish, their goal, and then everything dropped off until the sending off.
Yeah.
And it was dire in between that. But the start was good, and the end was brilliant up until the final 5 or 6 minutes, when we realised we were kind of futile, and they played the game really well and sorted it out.
Liverpool live by the sword, die by the sword, and the sword is we push forward, and you can counter on us. Our defence against that counter attack is, hopefully there's a high line that catches you offside, and there's a big fella in midfield called Fabinho, and they're like your two fire breaks. You know, I mean, like, they're your safety nets, they're your fire doors. We know, you know, there's a chance that you can count on us, but we bank on Fabinho to do his job and stop you. And if not, hopefully you're offside, or one of the quick centre backs can catch you up. All three of those things let us down. Fabinho hasn't started the season well at all. He's not played well both games, and that I think that's.
I don't think he starts that game if Henderson's fit enough to play the 90.
There's a chance.
Yeah,
I think he was poor against Fulham. I think everyone was. I don't think he was great against Palace, and he gets completely spun by Eze. He makes a shot of him basically, and then what you're hoping on is that they mistimed that pass by a second because it's so close. And I think Nat Phillips is kind of, he knows what he's meant to do. He's got no chance of winning trying to keep up with Zaha, so he has to try and play him offside. And he just, it's centimetres, but it's just wrong. And then I'll be honest,
It was telling, how much better, how noticeably better Joe Gomez is as a centre-half.
He's got pace for a start. Yeah, like, Nat Phillips, this is the issue we've got. If you're looking at it from a really critical point of view, and I think we can do this, is that, the injuries over the summer are all muscle injuries. Something's gone wrong. Something's gone wrong that this keeps happening now. And I think Jürgen's referenced this. He said it was like a witch doctor, or a witch was in the training ground every day with something else. Well, how many muscle injuries have we got? And I get it, because we had such a tough season. But then we know for a fact they come back, they go to Asia, they get flogged, they're doing triple sessions in Austria, and people are just dropping like flies. I wonder in hindsight if they think, you know what, we could have went the City approach of didn't really play the games and just let rather than banking on being super fit, super strong, and working, can you just get through on your quality for a bit? Because I've got no doubt if Liverpool had a full team available they would have more options. They'd be able to do something a bit different. Like, with all due respect, like sticking Fabio Carvalho in search of a winner at this point in the season isn't what you want.
Nearly happened though, didn't it? What a volley that was.
It was a belter of a volley. But you want to be bringing on Jota, yeah, and you want to, you know,
yeah,
you
but the
you
Jota,
want
the Jota thing's got nothing to do with how we pre-seasoned. That was with how Portugal post-seasoned.
But he trained with us, an undiagnosed injury.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
But that he picked up.
Do you know what this reminds me of? This may go a little bit over your head, but if anyone F1 fans are watching, right, they changed the regulations at the end of last year. They completely changed how the aerodynamics work on the car. Mercedes have been incredible since they brought the hybrid engine in, won everything pretty much bar last season's Drivers' Championship. And they changed the regulations, and Mercedes are supposed to be one of the top sides. Now, I remember sitting here in the summer with you guys saying, at some point, whoever's got the best sports science is probably going to win the league between Liverpool and Manchester City. And right now, there was two very different approaches. Mercedes had an approach for this year. Red Bull had an approach for this year. Mercedes got it wrong, and they're now third in the championship. Like, Ferrari have jumped them. Like, right now, that looks kind of what Liverpool and Man City are playing out like. Yeah. Man City look like they've got it right. Liverpool look like they've got the sports science thing wrong at this stage of the season.
Yeah.
Now, what happens at the back end or the middle of the season, we don't know. But right now, it looks like Liverpool are hurting from their approach for the sports science.
It's an interesting cyberrun. There's just done a few tweets on this, and obviously if you want to get a more of an insight into the sports science side of things, and Cybrun's a brilliant follow. We had a good expert insight chat with him a few weeks ago on Plus, which is still very, 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 very valid, because I talked to him about Liverpool's pre-season methodology and preparing for the World Cup year and what have you.
Even though he hadn't prepared for that.
No, that was it.
was that the first part?
That was me chatting about, like, Curtis Jones and all kinds of, just threw him a curveball and started asking.
Well, I haven't prepared for that, but I've got the stats here anyway.
Spreadsheets in front of him. He knows his onions. But yeah, we don't know, because there's intangibles, isn't there, of Liverpool went so hard last year, and it's all the lads who went additionally hard, particularly Jota. Well, the fact that Jota and Kelleher both basically picked up injuries on the internationals playing in the Nations League, whatever the fuck that competition is, and we've been playing a little bit of catch up with that.
I find it weird that the season ended so late for us, and then there was internationals, and this season started effectively 2 weeks early, and we've done the same thing.
We might have fucked ourselves, by trying to go big against Man City. That's probably where we've gone wrong.
Maybe we decided
to treat the Community Shield like a proper game of football. Yeah. And we conditioned ourselves to peak there, but we peaked ahead of time, which is why they then had a friendly the next day, and they were trying to have another friendly the week after. But then subsequently, we had so many injuries that we weren't able to put sides out, the proper side we wanted against Strasbourg, and ended up cancelling the Villa one after Fulham, because it was a pointless endeavour for everyone.
Pepe Linda said at his book launch that their whole pre-season was focused on the Community Shield, and like we wanted to beat Man City, we wanted to win. He said that in the launches on, yeah, that's available on YouTube. Anyone goes and watch it, by the way, he says it. And again, something's gone wrong. The fact is, we've got half the squad are injured. We're trying to integrate new players. If Darwin Nunes isn't ready, and I'm not sure he is, what I would say is I'm very encouraged by how often he gets in front of goal. He finds himself in front of that goal a lot. If he can put one in a couple of times, maybe a few times, it might help. But like, he gets in good positions. He had two chances with the goal. He ride in front of him. That's really encouraging. I think it was five shots in the 57 minutes he was on the pitch, I'm right in saying.
I'm just saying Darwin Nunes, unless he is a 30 goal a season striker, so many Liverpool fans are going to fucking hate him, by the way.
He's going to miss. Sadio got this as well, you know.
Yeah.
Sadio Mane
gets to pick the ball up and dribble past like two or three men and do all that kind of stuff. Like, I can see, and this is why I think Liverpool's game plan's gone out the window. He's not meant to be starting games of football.
Should be Jota, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
It should be Jota
or Bobby. Yeah. You know, that's what we're clearly geared up for, because he's such an awkward footballer, and he very much needs to be protected and eased into life at Liverpool, which we thought we'd done brilliantly up until that game on Monday.
To be fair, Jürgen said you guys wouldn't have seen it because you were in the ground, but the BT guys were. So what are you thinking? Why are you starting Darwin Nunes? And Jürgen said, we've literally got no other strikers left.
Yeah.
And that's the issue we found ourselves. And we're there in a few different places. With all due respect, there shouldn't be a Premier League game for Liverpool where Nat Phillips is playing the second game of the season, and where James Milner has to play midfield on the second game of the season. Like, good options, get it, like, sound. They're your reserve options. Like, they have to play. Yeah. It's something's not right, and it's killing us. It really affects us. we've got a week now to try and get a few lads back fit and fine. Like, I was surprised Naby never come on, but again, we don't know how fit he is.
My theory on this, by the way, and this is where it's tough for us to fathom ourselves, because we won't see the benefit of this, if ever. But, you know, we won't notice it, because it shouldn't be a noticeable thing. Joe Gomez, Naby Keita and Jordan Henderson, we effectively took a huge gamble on that Crystal Palace game, and it was on those three footballers. In an ideal world, all three of them start that game, and you're a much better team, and you probably have a much better control over the football match. But we've looked at it, and again through the sports science of things, and gone, we can't risk those lads in the same way. Jordan Henderson gets told Jordan Henderson can't do the 90. We need to be careful with him. Gomez has trained once in the week, haven't had a knock, and particularly the Gomez one, because if you start him and he goes down, that's Nat Phillips for him. You've got Nat Phillips for a month. And I love Nat, and I think he's a very capable centre half.
He started really well.
He did.
And I am always going to bet on first header of the game, if that's possible, yeah, as Nat Phillips. I might bet on the first two headers of the game being Nat Phillips, because he won both. And I was thinking, is this a bet that I can do? Because this is on every week. He's playing like.
They soon realised, let's kick it on the floor, lads.
Yeah. It's just stupid. But you can't play our brand of football with Nat Phillips at centre half.
Can't pass, can he?
No, he's just not good enough.
He's blocking everything, but ultimately he carries the ball.
And he's fine, and he understands it. But it's like Mignolet understood how to play, how Liverpool wants to play. He just wasn't anywhere near as good on the ball to make it work. It's like when you watch that Man United game at the weekend, and like David De Gea is doing it in the pass now from the back, and there's a bunch of lads who it's just not a right.
They know what they want to do. They just can't.
Nat Phillips played the right passes. You know, that's what he played the passes that I expect Matip and Konate to play. He just couldn't complete them.
He plays the that's the point. He understands the system. He understands how to play, and that's in some regard for the fifth choice centre half. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. You know,
slowed us down, unfortunately.
But that's it. You know, in terms of
Liverpool look better attacking when Gomez come on. And again, I'm on time with that. There's this game change, but we have got 10 players at this point. I thought Gomez finished the game really well. I was very encouraged by that.
It was smart by Klopp to bring him on, because it meant that because of his pace over there, he could release the right back a little bit, and he knows Gomez is comfortable into that area.
So
I
had it not under the rail from that point onwards. He had a late chance, obviously, at the back post, but that wasn't really from a counter. But yeah, ultimately, to go back to the very, very start of the point we are now, is that we've got 2 points for Fulham and Palace, and then like. That's not good enough. It's simple as that. Whatever, there's a million reasons. We play crap, there's injuries, lad decides to headbutt somebody for whatever. But ultimately, no one gives a fuck from the end of the season. You look at how many, you play 38 games, how many points you've got, and you don't, it is what it is.
38.
At this moment in time, we'll just survive relegation. Like at this point, we'll be 17th or 16th. But
nearly 40 points, mate, to avoid the drop.
Come I don't on. Know, the Premier League shite. I just think, like I say, somewhere down the line now, and I backed them because I always think Liverpool deserve the benefits. I understand, I'm reading the comments here, I'm reading the transfer stuff and all the tweets we get, people blaming us for Liverpool not signing people, which is brilliant.
Can I just say, like, far be it for me to draw too much attention to another Liverpool podcast, but I thought the Anfield Raps reply to this, the criticism, like it's us.
Can we get the credit for the...
Yeah, if we're getting blamed for Liverpool not signing players and not having higher standards, then we're also allowed to claim the Club World Championship, the Premier League, the Champions League,
and the Community Shield,
the Super Cup. and I'm having our sharing of the Western Union Cup as well with Sporting Lisbon, just for completeness.
Back to that. I get it. There's a lot of anxiety about it, and I understand it. I was still back Liverpool to turn this round, because you've got too many good players and a good manager. But if I can see why, it feels crap. Like it's uncommon, and it's not what we're used to. Really, we are used to dropping points, but like it often comes a little bit later. Like last season, we dropped those Brentford and Brighton points, which come back and really kicked us in the nuts a little bit, didn't they? We go things like that. We've done that earlier. Again, we're going to have to go on a run. At some point now, we have to go on a run where we just win seven, eight, nine games on the run. No, we don't look, at the moment, we're not ready for that. The squad's too injured, and the big lad up front just isn't settled yet. And now he's suspended for the next 3 games anyway. Which that actually is the worst part of this. We literally haven't got a striker at the moment.
I mean, it's just on the Nunes stuff. It's just stupid, isn't it? And look, and we get it. But that's my thing on him. And I've been trying to say this all summer. People need to chill the fuck out about Darwin Nunes and how good he is and how good he's going to be and all that, because I think he's got all the attributes to be a really good footballer. But I we've bought him a season too soon. In my opinion, we've not bought Erling Haaland, an Erling Haaland rival in him. We've bought a lad who can be very useful for us this season, but he's got all the hallmarks for me of a lad who's probably going to score maybe 15, maybe like he might get up to 20 all comps. But this season should be about Jota. It should be Diaz, Jota, Salah as the main three. And then he gets to come in and contribute and add. And he'll start some games, but largely he'll be a battering ram for 30 minutes. He'll rack up a few goals and assist and just cause a bit of mayhem around that kind of thing. But he's not, you can see it, it's at his attitude. And I referenced on the final word, Fernando Torres. We brought Torres in at it was Torres 23, I think, when we signed him. Torres comes in against Chelsea and gets booted by John Terry left, right and centre. Chelsea rough him up all day long and he's smiling at them.
That's
and he's
smile,
winding them up. Yeah, but there was a moment I referenced where he pats John Terry on the cheek after booting, after getting booted in the air.
Doesn't he ask him, like, if you're able to sing what your ma? He says that to him, don't he?
But the point is that Fernando Torres is psychologically prepared for the battle because he's ready for the step up. I'm not sure Nunes is quite ready to be the main man for Liverpool Football Club. I thought the tweet was the Liverpool
flag. That resilient, I said it at the time, I didn't like when he tweets that resilience thing after he got booed a little bit in a friendly and then scored a couple of goals in another friendly and he gives it to Shush. I was like, I don't like that. I'm with you. And this guy got in his head. I watched the video today of Anderson Nunes battle. I read the Athletic piece. Apparently this stems from pre-season. He had words in that game as well. He's been done, essentially. If that was us doing that to another player, you'd be thinking, fucking brilliant. And all's going to happen now, he comes back in the derby, and if you're Everton centre-half, you're in his ear.
Cody's having a laugh with him.
Of course you are. All game, you're poking him, and you're nudging him, and you're pushing him, because, like, he's reacted to it.
I do think he's a little unlucky with it as well, by the way, because it is soft, it is stupid, and we know we've watched the Premier League every week in, week out for the last, whatever, 30 years, literally 30 years. I don't think what he does is, in inverted commas, that bad, but it's just ignorant on his part. He thinks he's in a battle with this guy. He thinks Anderson is just as angry as he is. Anderson's not. Anderson is just playing the game and winding up and winding up. And I think Nunes stands up to have a chest to chest, like nose to nose. We're angry with each other. Like you see two lads squaring up in the street, and Anderson's not interested in squaring up to him. He's interested in getting him to square up. And you see it because the whole thing, like he does, like the what's his face like a Southern Belle debutante in the turn of the century in America, like, oh, you know, oh, I've got the vapors, and then floats down to the floor afterwards, mission accomplished, and Nunes is expecting it to be like this men shoulder to shoulder, chest, you know, the cavemen kind of situation, and it's just not.
It's also stupid the fact that he's arguing with the ref. 3 seconds before he
the ref's literally getting called over to the situation
because they've had words, and they both turn to the ref to say, are you going to sort this? What I would say, and Steve Plunk made this comment in our WhatsApp this morning, it was a good one. A good ref can kind of nip that in the bud, because all he needs you should be able to spot that all game. You can tell, because I've refereed before a little bit as well, you can tell when there's lads having a bit of needle with each other, and at some point you just call them over and go, lads,
yeah,
I'm on to this now, do us a favour, both calm down, Will, and just leave it there. It goes the whole game, and he is like Anderson's. Every chance he gets, he's nudging him in the back, he's pushing him, and it would wind it up at some point because he knows what he's doing. He's trying to do it, but if you shout the referee to do something about something, turn around and lay your head on someone, that's just idiotic. Yeah, yeah. And again, I've said there are a few shows, I hate repeating myself too much, but like, Steven Gerrard did it. I remember Michael Owen at Old Trafford getting himself sent off. We saw Wayne Rooney
did it at Old Trafford.
Yeah, like young players sometimes just do stupid things, and they'll all do it. And even Carragher throwing that quid, he was a younger player, but it was stupid. You can't do it. You know, Gary Neville said on Sky, the knee kicked the ball at the Everton fans. Sometimes players just do things that you just can't explain. And it just hope he learns from it, because now what's going to happen now, every single centre half in the league for the next 30 odd games he plays are going to be kicking him and pushing him and poking him.
But this is where it's an advantage to us, because now you have to play off that. You fall down when you get it, you keep falling down, you keep talking to the referee. He got no help from that referee. No. That referee is partly to blame for what happened.
He's a crap referee.
He is partly to blame. There was time after time where Nunes did go, you watch that highlight video, that 90 second highlight video, and every time he's there going, pleading with the referee, have you seen this? Have you seen this? He's doing the right thing. And then the one side of the referee is fucking watching.
He throws
his head at him, because that's just stupid. I'm not trying to say here that Nunes is in the right, but he's got to to keep going to the referee like that. He's got to keep trying to plead with him, and he's got to use that to his advantage. Yeah. Now there's no more sort of messing around with this. He knows that every defender in the Premier League is going to try and do this, and you've got to stand up and make sure that you're the one that comes out better this time, and better to learn this early on in the season than later on in the season where everything's hanging on the line.
It's got to be a catalyst. You've got to turn every negative into a positive, and Liverpool are very good at doing that. But just before I want to expand on that point, but anyone who thinks that's a headbutt, by the way, has either never been headbutted or has never headbutted someone.
I think it is a butt. I think because if I'm pushing my head towards you, there's no force behind it. He does give it. He isn't like fucking.
I don't think you lead with your chest if you're headbutting someone.
I think
it's more like that. I'm sorry. And his head's there.
Yeah, look, it's the headbutts, Marco Materazzi. Yeah. That's a headbutt.
It's the upwards motion of it that makes. And because
he's standing up though.
It's stupid. I'm not saying he's not trying to make contact with him. He is. He's trying to get right up and hit him
with his head, but it's not a headbutt.
It's not a Birkenhead kiss.
No, I know.
Let's put it that way.
It's closer to one of Honda's special moves than it is a full on headbutt in it. Just to say that the catalyst thing, you're right, because you know, in terms of the learning curve, at least you know that's a potential. But you've got to turn that into, right, there you go, mate. Now everyone's going to do this to you now on. At least you know now. At least you know what not to do. And similarly with Diaz as well, I got a real sense from that Diaz moment, from the red card onwards. That's got to be his arrival at Liverpool. He's been here for half a season already. He's got to play like that now. That's got to be his level, because we saw glimpses of that last season, you know, when he was just a bit, he was freed of it all. But it's like, mate, you're a senior Liverpool player now. There's no more, you're not a new lad. You're established. You can't be passive in football matches. I want you fighting and scrapping and clawing and battling for every single football that's around you. Go and be a menace to everyone, because he's got that in his locker. I just think he's been a little bit too, like, second, third fiddle, you know, because he is the new lad, and I can appreciate that. You know, if you're in a front three with Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah, you know, the two guys have been there. And
it's like being on a podcast with you two.
You can carry me
for a while. Yeah,
yeah. They both need to be better.
The thing with Diaz is he showed the fight that Mane did for us, and that's that. I will not be denied today, and that's something that we were going to miss from Mane. So if Diaz can pick up that and run with that, then that's absolutely brilliant. He has been reverential, isn't it? That's the right word, isn't it? Yeah. To the other two lads, and rightfully so. But you do have to claim your place within that front three as well. Yeah. And he's got to be able to stand up and do that. I love the fact that he hit it completely differently to the other shots that he's had for us. He's been trying to bend that ball into the far corner, and this time around he just goes, I'm smacking this fucker.
Yeah.
And it's going straight into the back of the net.
Yeah.
So that's something that maybe you can have a little go with. But the other thing is, now he's just going to have that confidence to be able to do it time and time again. And you know, yes, I think Nathaniel Clyne had a really great game against him, but ultimately he still scored. Yeah. He still took that chance on. So if you're going to play him, like, you're going to keep him away from goal, he can still shoot. And that's something that we've missed as well for a long time since Coutinho left, is that ability to score those types
Sadio
of goals.
Used to score that goal, and he kind of stopped scoring it, didn't he?
He stopped scoring those goals 3 years ago, really, didn't he?
Diaz looks like me, like the type of player. You know, some players before a game, you need to calm them down. Maybe Darwin Nunes. Luis Diaz looks like you need to wind him up.
Yeah.
He looks like, Tottenham when they score and he gets the equaliser, albeit with a lucky deflection kind of, but like he was the same in that game. He looks like he just thrives.
Our lads feel a little bit too much like they're aware of the pressure a bit, you know what I mean, and what they're up against this season, and they're aware of the physical exertion that's coming, and I don't think this team functions very well when they're not in the thick of things. I think they function well better when it's just game
better
game,
in crisis
game,
mode than they are,
you know, just when you're embattled,
when everything's on the line.
I saw that in Virgil card. I saw that with Virgil both games, actually. I think Virgil's looked a little bit like that, just like a little bit dozy. It's like a little bit sleepy, like he doesn't sprint after Zaha straight away, and if he does and dives in and launches in front of him, I know it's not his style.
Well, no, but we had this conversation because someone put that in the Facebook group and said that, you know, he should be sliding in there. He doesn't slide in because if you commit, then it's a definite goal because your goalkeeper's already committed to the right-hand side. You slide in, commit to the right-hand side, and Zaha just cuts back and open and slots it into the far corner. He's blocking any potential runners in behind. But you're right. But I also do agree a little bit. My fear, and this is not necessarily fan, this just might be me filling the gaps, is I think there's a few of our players going,
God, it's going to be a long old slog of a season. I was so knackered at the end of last season. I need to conserve a little bit here. I need to be careful with my body. I don't want to get bent. I don't want to miss games of football. And I think they need to just fucking get over themselves.
Maybe,
just get,
yeah.
You've got to think of what the mindset is. They've just seen about 12 lads go down with muscle injuries. Yeah. They've got to sort of play that within themselves, because if they go down as well, because they're overcommitting to challenges and sprints and all that type of stuff, then you're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 lads down. Yeah. And then what situation are we in?
It just feels a bit, even in the full game, just a bit doughy. He's very intelligent. He's done a couple of doughy things recently. And like you say, it might just be a bit of mental fatigue. He played all last season. Then he went away with Holland for a bit, then he's back pre-season. Before you know it, it's early start. Like, everyone just looks a little bit off it. Do you know what? I don't think there's anyone who you'd say in the whole team who just looks 10 out of 10. Mo Salah was the closest in the Community Shield. He was unplayable. But since then, it's been two games, short sample size, and he's done okay in both of them. But nobody really looks on it. And again, you have to look at City because they're the benchmark. Kevin De Bruyne looks like just fucking brilliant again. Yeah. Like, and he's on it straight away. And again, I just reference it, maybe in hindsight, and he'll never admit this, maybe the summer went wrong.
Yeah, and also, yeah. Again,
for me, Robbo looks peak Robbo.
Do you think?
I don't think he can finish. Like, that's peak Robbo.
Yeah.
But I think he's been up and down that wing. He's not had any problems defensively. And he's the outlet ball at the moment for us. He's the one, which is not good, by the way. Robbo being the back stick all the time, the only lad that can get free in the box.
He was centre forward twice, wasn't he?
Yeah, I thought Trent was really good on the night, but I agree, but he wasn't good. I mean,
his passing was unbelievable. I think it was 25 progressive passes from your right back, just unbelievable. And again,
it's the style. He gets into the right wing position and he hits a driver into the box, and then he'll hit a floated ball into the box. It's just
the one for Salah's head is unreal. If Salah scores that, it was reminiscent of that goal. Remember against Bournemouth, he played something similar and Salah flicked it over the goalie. This time just wasn't enough on it. But yeah, Trent's passing, yeah, I agree. But overall, I think it's fair to say, if you were making a team with a 2 weeks so far, when I mean Liverpool plays in it, and you'd have six or seven Man City players in it, maybe.
And Diaz has just got goal of the season.
Yeah, but he hasn't been that good. I'm with you. The hope is it flips around and it could come post World Cup. We look fitter, stronger, better for it. But
you've got to be in.
But you've got to be able to say you don't want the gap to be too big. That's exactly what happened last season. We looked amazing and we just couldn't quite.
I'm not sure. I think we've been very good at chasing, but I think there comes a point where you've chased in futility too many times. I don't think they'll want that. And I say, it's just a mad season. It just feels like that. I think we're all feeling it. We were walking away from the game the other night, weren't we? Because I said, I'm not really ready to be going put through the ringer at this stage.
I'm not accepting it's a mad season, because tell me when the last one wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're going back 5 years.
What we'll never know is it's three seasons, mad seasons stacked back to back to back. We'll never be able to calculate what that feels like.
Everyone's dealing with these mad seasons. It's not just us. Like, that's the point.
But Liverpool are dealing with it in a different way. But if
sports science is at fault, they're not. It's their fault.
Yeah. No, I mean psychologically. I'm talking about how no one else has chased Man City for 3 years, whilst also managing all the things that Liverpool have. And everyone's managed to say, everyone's been through COVID and everyone's been through no fans football, but no one's done that whilst also having to compete with Manchester City at the same time.
But Manchester City have had to compete with us.
Oh, exactly.
And everyone's been trying to catch us.
Yeah.
So I don't see that there's any difference there. And Chelsea have won a European Cup in that time as well.
Expectations the only different thing.
Chelsea won a European Cup. Their expectations last year at the start of the season, were they going to win the league? These are the things that happen to most of the top clubs in Europe every single season.
Yeah.
And we all have to deal with it. And what's disappointing is it could quite quickly turn into another lost year.
Yeah,
because of that. But I don't buy at all that it's a mad season. We can't just accept that right now. We've got to fight. We've got to continue
better.
We've got to chase. We've got to improve. And we've got to get past it. Mm. No point crying about it. You're in a battle. Yeah, you've got to keep fucking going. You can't stop and whinge about it.
Yeah, 100%. When I say it's a mad season, it it just is, isn't it? You know what I mean?
They all are. That's my point. They're all mad seasons for some reason or another.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. It's just you wonder how much... Had the toll that's taken, because again, literally just being a passive observer of it has been absolutely fucking exhausting. We haven't had to put the actual running in whilst also having all the same sort of mental ups and downs that go with it. That's what. But again, everything we're presenting here is based on two games of football, and it should be based on three, and it's not, because we're not even counting. It's like the we beat Man City 3 weeks ago, and it's like it doesn't count. We should
it
be.
It was a friendly.
Oh, yeah. I know. But to the point is that the idea that it's totally fucked, I think, is a bit premature. But we're all in agreement that if you go and draw, if you draw it again and again and again, then you're in a top four fight, and not a title challenge. You've got to prove.
I think if we draw the next two games, we're in a fight for second with ourselves. That's the difference.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, I still think we're miles better than 3, 4, 5, and 6 in the league.
I think if we were to draw 3 or 4 games at the start of the season, and you're on 4 points after 5 games, 5 points after 5 games. You just are.
What I mean is, you're in a fight with yourself in that you've just got to get better, and you now then start to not believe that you can do it.
Yeah.
It's not like them being better than us. It's, can you mentally get over what's happened to you in the first four games of the season?
But you might be. That's the thing. That, because this is the hardest thing to judge, is that actually you don't know your team's not good enough until you see it.
So, exactly.
We've got no idea how good Liverpool actually are this season. Have we made too many changes? I don't think we have. I think we're fine.
If anything, I don't think we've made enough.
But it's more because of the injuries that we've been forced to make too many changes. There's too many lads playing games of football for us now who shouldn't be. Nunes shouldn't be starting games of football. Carvalho shouldn't be getting chucked on to win games of football for you.
Nah, Phillips, James Milner.
Yeah. You know, these are lads who are all fine squad options, and you'll get.
I mean, the fact that we played the Community Shield, Milner comes on for 20, 30 minutes and then basically plays the 90 the next day is mental.
Yeah.
Like, that's not planned in any way, shape, or form. And that's before the season even started.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's madness.
Elliot the same. Okay, Carvalho gets a couple of minutes at the end, doesn't he? And then does
love him going up to the crowd, by the way, and giving it all that the other night.
Elliot?
No, Carvalho.
Oh, did he?
When he came on within 5 minutes, I think he'd won a throw-in or something, and he's in front of the Kenny Dalglish stand, Sir Kenny Dalglish stand, and he's like that to the crowd. I'm like, yes, you can tell he's mates with Elliot. You can tell he sort of watches and sees how to do it, and he got a reaction from the crowd, and certainly from my side of the cop as well.
Boss.
I think writing us off now is stupid, but you would also be equally as furious to say you're not going to say.
You can't sit here and go, "It's sound, it'll be sound."
It's like it's like on your car, the light's on, and you're just hoping it's that the light's faulty. I've had this where my emissions light come on. I was thinking, please don't be my exhaust, please. And it's just the emissions light was broken. Like, I can fix that, but that light, these two drawers of that light, is we are fucked, or actually it's a little tiny issue that needs resolving. I'm hoping it's the latter. But what's concerning me, Paul? Again, I know moving on a little bit. Some of the injuries, we haven't even got return dates for some of these lads.
Mm-hmm.
Even can I say, what's that?
Yeah.
When's Jota back? We don't know. Who knows? There's so much uncertainty about it. Kevin Keller, what's happening? And again, sub goal, we know nothing. Something's not right, and it doesn't smell right. And usually that's an indication that it's something's a bit fishy. And again, this is where the one game a week actually benefits us. I usually think Liverpool thrive on two games
we
a week.
We need to play two games a week to get up to our level, but at the minute, we haven't got enough players to play two games a week. Yeah.
It's a blessing in disguise. We just need some lads back fit. We haven't got a striker next week.
No, I know.
Carvalho's playing up front.
I'll just say this. 13 years we've been doing this now, and we've been sat here like when Liverpool have had slow starts to the season, when we all thought, well, maybe this will be the season we win the league. And, you know, we sat here going, oh, no, it'll be fine. We'll pick it up and pick it up. So I'm long in the tooth enough to recognise the delusion of being a football fan when things are not right, and you go,
how many of those 13 years did we have a slow start and win the league?
Exactly, never. Absolutely. But this is the
thing. Damn it!
No, but that's what I'm saying, is that I'm not so stupid as to think that this is not, you know, we could be quite easily concerned about this. But if you're going to trust the team to actually just figure it all out and be fine, of them, the balance of likelihood is it's this manager, it's this team, it's these players.
From any of those 13 seasons.
They will figure it out, it's just how long it takes them to do it.
And again, that's the point. Without having to go down it, you know, no guarantees or anything, like, City have slow starts this season every fucking year and win the league.
They lost Dundrew. Yeah,
they never take maximum points from the first five games. They often drop points in two. They on average drop points in two games in the first five or six of a season every season without fail. It's just we're living in this like too early point. And this is the problem with us doing this and we'll there's just conversations.
24/7 news cycle.
We'd be having this in the pub if we weren't doing it here. And everyone around the world is having similar conversations and fears and all that kind of stuff. Is that there's not enough data at the moment for us to draw any reasonable, you know, things. All we can do is draw on our previous experience, which equally, going back to the mad season thing, isn't totally relevant to this because there's never been a third season on the back of a run of seasons like this before and all these kind of mitigating circumstances.
My daughter goes to nursery, right, and every morning they have to walk in, they've got loads of like monsters on the wall and you get two name tags and you have to put and each monster got like a feeling next to it, so how are you feeling today? And she might walk over and go, happy but tired or something. If it was me now, I would be optimistic and concerned. They would be the two things. I trust this team fully, but
we've watched too many seasons where Liverpool can't ignore
this monster either.
I've fucked up a title challenge in the first five games of the season for us to be like, this will all be fine. This is absolutely fine. Sat here burning house.
Dogfire.
Exactly.
I am, for Jessica as a nurse, I am very much optimistic monster, concerned monster right now. And I think that's the general feel. I think there's a lot of people who are concerned.
Angry panic.
Yeah, I'm not there yet, but
anger panic is the term. Yeah,
there
is.
Heads on fire kind of stuff.
Anger, blame Redmen and the off-field rap. The emotions
seems to be a popular thing right now.
Liverpool draw a game. For media fault.
Oh, what I'd also point out on this, by the way, it's why things like that don't really concern me. I think they're quite funny. It's because, again, I've done this, I've written books about the seasons and troll through the YouTube comments and put them in the books and that kind of stuff for the Champions League winning season and the league winning season. Is the worst it ever tends to get under Klopp is we'll draw two games back to back, and that happens all the time in seasons, particularly in the first half of season. But it's normally draw a Champions League game, draw a Premier League game that follows or before it, and that is when the comments and the feeling online is the most toxic it ever is, and that's when whatever the perceived narrative problem is. So it's what position haven't we bought? So in when we won the Champions League, it was
I can't understand that one midfielder solves our 13-14 injuries. By the way,
absolutely. There's more. Honestly, it's like, I get it. People want another midfielder.
Oh, my God, we need another midfielder because Nathaniel Phillips is playing centre-half.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Because we've got no centre-forwards.
No creativity in this side. I mean, Alex, he was like four. Darwin Nunez missed two chances on the four-yard line.
Exactly. We created more chances than any other Premier League team in the first two games of the season.
Score some of them.
Our creativity is not the problem. It's lads sticking the ball in the back of the net. And we own the best goal scorer in the Premier League, by the way, who scored one goal for us this season, which was a bobble off Nunez that he knocked in. It's early doors, yeah. We'll be fine. But to the point, when it feels like it's on top and it feels like the problems feel exacerbating, they feel bigger than they are because the reaction's biggest. But honestly, every time Liverpool draw two games back to back, we get Redmen are in the pockets of FSG, and it's like, honestly, it's like I could time it. It's like by clockwork, so it always is the way. It always we get this every fucking year. Even when Liverpool win everything, but we were the champions of everything, and we had these feelings in the past. So it'll probably be all right.
What I would say is just a time bomb very, very quickly is very, very quickly. We probably should still buy a midfielder.
Yeah, we're not going to.
We're not going to.
But I just, again, look, I can't get drawn into this again. I did half an hour on this on my channel the other day.
Great title.
Yeah. Liverpool will buy a midfielder. They absolutely will.
Probably next year.
When the right one's available to buy, they'll just fucking buy one. They're definitely going to buy a midfielder or something. They're not going to not buy a midfielder forever. They're going to buy a midfielder. And I said, this is the point on this. And it's exacerbated by our point right now. We're going to end up going to Old Trafford with Carvalho in the front three. And he's a really good player, but he's not first team material yet for Liverpool until he proves it. And he might do it at Old Trafford. He might become a Liverpool legend. And he might be go time from there. And Elliot's similar the same. These are two wonder kids that we've got here. And they're not quite ready to be the main men for Liverpool, which should perfectly evidence to the problem with just buying a midfielder. And they said there must be someone out there. There might be, but we need to buy the right midfielder, not a midfielder. Liverpool need to buy the right players. If you're buying a player he needs to be much better, or in fact, he needs to be either exactly on the level of Thiago, Henderson, Fabinho, or realistically, he needs to be better than them. Otherwise, it's a complete fucking waste of everyone's time. It's a complete waste of time and money. We don't need bodies. We've got bodies. Everyone agrees we've got bodies. I don't think even the people who are like, it's a catastrophic failure. Everyone knows we've got bodies. It's quality. Yeah. And you need quality, because if you don't have quality, you'd end up undercutting what you're trying to do. There's no point going into the transfer market to buy average, because you're better off playing a kid with potential who already understands how to play than bringing someone in cold and expecting an average footballer to get beyond expectation results. Is just madness. It's stupid, absolutely stupid. Right, we'll do more. We've got some super chats which I'll read out once we come back from this very short break before we dive into Manchester United.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at UH1.com.
It feels like you've spoken to a wide range of people.
Well, we did. We spoke to Steve Rotherham, who was really good. We spoke to Andy Burnham as well, as a Mancunian mayor and an Everton fan. And Steve was great, recalling the 1977 FA Cup final. He said, well, he said, we were beaten by two, and he uses a very bad word to describe the goal. He said, and you must quote me directly on that. But it does involve a player and a manager, but one of my favourite stories was told by Phil Thompson. And Phil was absolutely great. I mean, when he was talking about the good times to Liverpool, his face was wreathed in smiles. And when he was talking about the bad times, it was grimacing, typical Phil. And he said this story about when Liverpool had been knocked out in that 1999 game, and Gerard Houllier had arranged them to go away for a few days to play a local team somewhere in France. And they flew out from Manchester Airport. When they got to Manchester Airport, bad luck would have it, they were met by Manchester United flying out to a Champions League quarter-final, and obviously accompanied by an awful lot of their fans. Of course, they see Phil, who they recognise as Soccer Saturday, massive symbol of Liverpool, the fan who came from the Kop and played. So, of course, they get stuck straight into Phil. Phil said, I should have said nothing. I should have stood back. And then he said, but you know me. And he said, he started tearing into them. You know, we've won this, we've won that, you haven't you? He said, I shouldn't have done it. He said, but I couldn't help myself. But he said, on a more serious point, he said it was one of the worst times of his career at Liverpool, because it came home to him just how far ahead of Liverpool United were. And he said they then went and lost to this team of locals in France. And it sort of crystallised all the thoughts himself and Gerard Houllier had about rebuilding Liverpool, the pain of what they'd suffered at the airport, the pain of the defeat to these local guys, sort of French third division team when they won away. They came home, they decided to rebuild the team. Hippier, Henchoz, all those era of players came in. So out of that pain came the success of the treble of Liverpool won in 2001. And it was just seeing Phil's face describing it all. And also in your mind's eye, you can see Phil thinking, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm saying something. And tearing into them.
Hey, yes, the was doing Liverpool Library last week. Yeah, the book is there.
Yeah, Jim White and not that Jim White, the other Jim White. And Phil McNulty, yeah, Red on Red, really good. So building up to Man United, yeah, they were really cool. So it's streaming on Plus right now, the whole chat. It's essentially some of the biggest fixtures and biggest talking points around United. Bit of a chat on
Liverpool United.
What did I say?
Not just Man United.
And obviously, and our rivalry with them. So it's essentially a lot of the chat was like, when we were good, they were crap. Then they were good and we were crap, and then we're good and then we're crap again. So it's a lot of like.
It is the maddest rivalry in footy, in that.
It's not a footy rivalry because we're never good at the same time.
Yeah.
Essentially that, but we just fucking hate each other.
Yeah,
essentially. And it is, some people put it down to like it being a city on city thing, but like Evertonians don't really, Man United or Man City fans and stuff. It is a Liverpool. It's a footy thing.
It's just a success thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah,
it's having to endure you being crap, but it's other team. From Manchester being really good
and
at the
vice versa.
It's because it's more than footy as well, isn't it? It's always, you know, even you can take it into music, yeah. You can take it into work, like, you know, going back even further and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I'm raging about the canal
still. Yeah. It's the fact that they put boats on both the fucking badges, mate, to fucking have you heard us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first chapter is called Who Cares About the Canal. Yeah, yeah, genuinely. If you go to the social channels, we're giving some of these away. Ross is doing a couple of
the book is called
it's Red on Red by Phil McNulty and Jim White. It's out now, by the way. It's really good. I recommend it. But yeah,
what I was doing there was hurrying you up.
Ross is giving them away. Cool. Chat socials.
Yeah, you would have come to reading the title, but I wanted to read it now so we can move on. So Red on Red, brilliant, get involved. Sad, super chat. Gareth Baird, he's been a member for 22 months, says,
hey,
this will help the positivity, lads. We play United away next and they lost 4-0 last week. We're NWA, brilliant. Jamie McLennan says, a Red from Australia, travel to Liverpool in October when we play Arsenal away. Any pubs you recommend watching the game in? Love your work, boys. Go to Hotel Anfield, or go to one of the ones around the ground, mate. Good atmosphere, good vibe and all that good stuff as well.
And if you go into watching in Hotel Anfield, I'd recommend going to the park beforehand. It's not something I have done for years, but if you want to sing song with the atmosphere beforehand, go to the park, get yourself a home bake, walk around to Hotel Anfield, watch it in Hotel Anfield, job done.
Yeah. Dickie Oi Red says, I'm beaten after two games, Invincibles is on, boys. There, yeah, you go. Absolutely.
Well, the 4 draws,
the 38 points Invincibles.
Yeah. We should do this, that'd be amazing.
If we get a gold trophy if you come 16,
get one made out of tinfoil. Yeah, it's the championship trophy next season. Scott Hawks, the strange structure of this season seems to have caused us to go very hard and short in pre-season. That's extended into the first few games. We're suffering early to benefit as the games build up, but it's a big gamble. It is a big gamble.
It's a hard season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why didn't no one make that point today?
Why have no one made that point before?
But I agree.
The problem is that I think we've gone for this plan. But the thing is, you can't be building up resilience if you're injured. And it's more likely that the lads who have been injured are just going to get injured again as the season progresses. Because that was a little bit, I was like, well, and there's one point Cyberunders just made. Everyone's going to have loads of injuries this season because of the World Cup thing and the shortened pre-season and everything that goes on around it and the back of three mad seasons. But it doesn't mean that we're not, it's not like you get it out the way. It's not like COVID where you become immune for 3 months or whatever off the back of it. You've been out for 2 weeks with a groin injury.
And you get a calf. Getting lashed straight back in.
Yeah, but you get a calf injury a week after that, you know, and so that's the one thing is that I hope Liverpool just get a grip on it, because we were okay with that last season. We had a few injuries to start and then we had a few in a bit, and then we were quite good the back end of the season in terms of fitness and availability. We were great, but yeah, we maybe it undone us a little bit.
Do
by that
would
point.
Have been an inter because it's all like the sports science thing's all theory, isn't it? Until this season, because it's never happened this way before.
It's a mad season.
The Brazilian league, are they the ones where they have two seasons in one year?
Well, they might be, but Argentina.
Right, maybe we should have got a sports scientist from there.
Scotland,
I'm not sure that's a season, personally. They have like seven games against them. But like, you know, if you bring a sports scientist in from over there, yeah, like, they're like, right, this is what we want you to do this time around.
Yeah, definitely. Is it? He's just said Paul Tierney has an agenda. Just look at previous. Yeah, he's shite. His agenda is a shite mank.
And he's bald now as well.
I think he's sort of, he's tried to make himself look like Iniesta. Yeah. And it's kind of worked, kind to of be worked. Honest. Yeah, but yeah. His quality isn't there.
But he's
yet.
A shite Mancref, bald Mancref. Max Kellerman, City.
Wow,
Woodham.
Sorry, Steve.
Don't use bald as an insult.
Oh, no, it wasn't an insult.
It was.
You did mean, yeah.
It was so insulting.
Yeah. Descriptively insulting.
No, I was saying it's
it was
shite.
A describing word. It was a describing word.
Shite and mank with the ref. I'm ref for the insulting words. That was just him describing it, what he looks like.
It was three insults in a combo.
It's just because I could have said a shite hairy ref.
you couldn't.
I never would have said that. Max Kellerman, City have won 4 titles in 5 years. Wake up, clowns.
I knew that.
Yeah,
I'm very much aware.
Yeah, we could really do with Liverpool waking up, because the only team we're going to stop Man City winning titles are Liverpool, which is stupid pressure.
Someone should tell Liverpool this. Mm-hmm. This would be constructive criticism.
Totally new. Barella will be nice and cheap, says Rabadam. Yeah, I bet we could pick him up for buttons and flash him in. No problem whatsoever. John Lee David Blackshaw, the legend that he is, member for 18 months. Did we think we wouldn't have injuries after the effort of last season? I knew this was going to be a difficult start. However, I believe, and God, have I missed football. Yeah,
it wasn't away long enough for me to miss it.
Yeah, I enjoyed being back. And here's one thing before we move on. I enjoyed the game. I enjoyed the match because we did play well for the start of the game. I was a bit annoyed that our best spell happened at the opposite end of the pitch, which is so hard for me to see.
Yeah.
But like the pedal and like the excitement, and I was like that the chase once we were down to 10 men was thrilling. Like I was stood up for the whole game, but I was like, you know, like loads of moments where is he gonna get it?
There was loads of it. I tell you what, I don't know what it was like where you were, but the cop was hot at the back in 2-0.
Was it? I was nicely comfortable. I mean, I had to take my coat off.
We were dripping. Absolutely dripping within the first 15 minutes, and that was just because of the footy.
Joseph Lewis Diaz.
Honestly, it was ridiculously hot, but it was so good to be back in there. The reason I said it wasn't away long enough, it was a really shit pre-season in terms of watching football, and it always is. It's just not the same. But when you get back into the ground, or when you're watching a real game with actual shit on the line, it's why you love football. It's why you feel the feelings. And like that was the thing when Nunes got sent off. That post that was like such a good atmosphere, because it's never more fun than when it's narky.
Yeah, I agree. Positive narkiness. Speaking of which, Man United next Monday.
It's fucking not positive about them. They're shit.
They are a shit show, which is great. My slight concern on this, and this is where we're at, because this is like, we don't know how Liverpool are going to go. We've drawn 2 games of football. There's anxieties and fears all around it. Them being crap is no solve to me, because it just adds to, you're going to beat them at Old Trafford. They are shite and we should beat them at Old Trafford. But I have grown up, and Everton are exactly the same, but on the opposite end of the spectrum. Manchester United have done nothing but disappoint me. They've never given me anything I truly want in football. So if you put your eggs in needing Man United to be something, they will never be that for you. So if you need them to be crap, they'll be good. If you need them to be good, they'll be crap. And there shouldn't be no expectation that we go and win at Old Trafford, although there should be, because they're shite and we're really good. But yeah, I just could do with almost this game being done and the guarantee of knowing there's 3 points in the bag, because it's going to be more stressful than I think we could all do with at the moment.
They're the worst team in the league at the minute, and that's the positive. The negative is, have they bottomed out? Was that rock bottom, and now the only way is up? So that's Ten Hag finding out what he can and can't do. Like, there's talk he might move Martinez into midfield already after 2 games.
Can I just say, by the way, because he's no taller for putting him in midfield.
Yeah. This is where we're going to be putting our Phillips up front against them, but like Brentford made a show of them, like 4-0 flat at Man United. It could have been 8. Like, they were crap. Like, but again, he got them in the next day and he had them running. Ah, oh, brilliant, yeah, whatever. But
did he have them in at 9:30 again? Because that's what they were made up with.
They ran 13k because Brentford.
Well, they didn't fucking run at the weekend.
That's
so
the point.
Fair play.
Well, that's what he did.
He said
they made them run the difference
in the team. Again, brilliant. Blah blah. Whatever. That is nonsense. But My only worry is, after he bottomed out, has he learned a few things that he has to go and change? And now he's got, from Saturday they played? He's got 7, 8, 9 days now to fix what he knows. Some of that's going to be hard, because the players are shit. And you can't change that in a week. They are trying desperately to buy anyone. Their scattergun approach to transfers is just baffling. So from Arnautovic to Rabiot to Casemiro, he was linked.
That was a brilliant one last night. There was like a 15-minute spell where it come out like Man United are interested in Casemiro. Casemiro wants to stay 15 minutes later by the same United fan.
Casemiro says no.
I was like, yeah. Fucking brilliant. Yeah. At least he didn't drag it on all summer for
Roy Hodgson optimism to head slump gif. Yeah.
Frankie de Jong. There's loads this going on. So I don't trust that they're going to get it right in a week. I still think Ten Hag is a good coach and would have done at Ajax, but he was stupid at the weekend. Picking that team against that team was just mental. Bafflingly stupid. We're going away to a set-piece team, a really good, strong physical team. Brighton are good, by the way. Let's just pick every short lad we've got.
Was it you that was telling me about he'd not made the decision of who was playing alongside Martinez?
Didn't make the decision on the partner for Martinez until Thursday. Like in the build up to the
and then the game. Subs Martinez for the other lad on the day itself.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. And the thing with Martinez being a midfielder is obviously he played that DM role before,
not under Ten Hag though.
I was thinking, I wonder if he brought him in as a DM. Clearly he hadn't. Clearly he brought him in as a centre half. And if you're spending 60 million on a player and then changing his position after two games, you ain't got a Scooby Doo. What's going on, mate?
They've done that with Eriksen already, haven't they? You know what I mean? They've done it with Eriksen.
Eriksen played up front and DM.
I said they've got a 10. Have they bought Eriksen? Clearly he was there, Milner.
If they play Martinez as a DM, then there could be no clearer example of the fact that they haven't got a fucking clue what they're doing, because their two main signings of the summer would have played in two completely different positions on the pitch in their first couple of games. The Martinez thing, play him as DM, fine. You know, the
midfielder, right? The reason he's tall to be a DM these days.
Right,
there's a big difference between a DM and a centre half. Massive difference, and most centre halves are Martinez, and that's a massive difference, that height. But the thing with the stuff is, a ball playing centre half is not a ball playing midfielder. Nope. It is a complete difference. You can't just put a ball playing centre half and think they're Jorginho. They might be good for a centre half at the back, but it's a completely different fucking level in midfield.
You don't move players forward up the pitch. Like
not a centre half.
You bring them back. You get
unless
more.
You're Paul Warrest.
Yeah, which even
you skip a level, football, you go off front.
Yeah, football, that's the second time I've talked about him.
Sutton could go back, play a little bit of centre half, play a little bit of centre forward.
But you don't do, and it seems panic, because ultimately, again, the small one man DM thing, it's at its day. Kante, brilliant, but also we have people alongside him as well, like Danny Drinkwater, you know, doing bits and pieces alongside him. But Fabinho and Rodri are the current successful template for what your DM wants to look like.
It's the starting point.
Shielding long balls, helping you dominate against, you know, and because target men are coming back into the Premier League as well, there's going to need more of that. I hope they do something stupid. I really do, because I don't see how they're going to be better at passing out from the back, significantly better, because that was shocking.
Well, the thing is, shocking. If we get Bobby back for this game, we maul them. If they play out from the back.
Oh, we will make a show of them.
We are, especially if you throw a Hendo or a Keita in there as well, if you can.
I think if I'm picking the team now, Keita's the first name on the sheet now in midfield, because he's our best presser. Fucking run them ragged. They can't pass the ball. It isn't the fact that they don't know when to do it. They can't do it. Their technique is dreadful. The only one who's got a bit about it really in there is actually Eriksen, but like he's not. It's baffling what his plan is. Like, the goalkeeper can't kick, the centre-back can't kick, really. Maguire's a joke, the full-backs are shit. And they were trying to play...
They're passing off in the back thing, though, Steve. It was mad, because you're drawing the... I mean, they must be trying to draw the press. They had both centre-halves on the corners of the six-yard box and the goalkeeper in the middle. Like,
which 70% of teams do now.
But, like... But given the movement and the pace in which they're doing it, it left them with two passing options, and it was absolutely baffling, take the one with Eriksen,
right?
Why give him the ball?
Well, first off, yeah, where's he passing it to?
Exactly.
There's no, even if the ball got to him and there wasn't a player on him, he didn't have a fucking pass.
Yeah, the only thing he was going to do was give it back to Zaha. Yeah. That's the best that could have happened.
That was not rehearsed, and you've got to have rehearsed moves for that to work, because you've got to be able to play blind passes.
Yes.
And it looked like they put Eriksen in there because he's dead good at passing, and they've gone, right, you figure it out. And he had no idea, because the ball's got to go to the right back. You know what I mean? It's just got to go in, and it goes quickly to there, and then someone drops off from the front line, and then
there's a midfielder dropping in for the pass inside, and you take.
Zaha is the issue. He's the main issue. What Eriksen does is the right thing. He draws that guy out. The ball is over my head, mate, to the fullback. He's the goalies. I've been saying this for a while. I know they vote him their best player for the last 3 years or whatever, 2 years or whatever. And I've said he's a massive problem for them. Yeah, because
I've been saying this for 5 years.
Because the reason he's saying
goalkeeping's moved on and they haven't clocked it because if you don't understand goalkeeping, you think lads who save things are good goalkeepers.
The reason he's saving everything is because he's never off his fucking line and he can't kick, so he gives keep getting chances.
And they concede lots of shots on goal.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of it's because of him, because he doesn't sniff danger.
He's not a bad goalkeeper. You can't win a league with him.
He's not a
win the Premier League with a goalkeeper like that.
Well, he's like Nick Pope. Yeah. Which is a good goalkeeper.
He'll win goalkeeper of the year if you play for Burnley in the Championship. But no, you take my point. If you want to be a playing out from the back side, which Manchester United under Ten Hag clearly want to be, they've got to change the goalkeeper.
Yep. And they'll own the better passing goalkeeper to Nottingham Forest the other day. You saved a penalty. Like that's the clear signs at that football club are have not got a clue.
They're a basket case. They've got no clear, concise plan. And you've been saying
we can go make it worse.
Chris has been saying this all summer about like if they're buying players that he knows, then that means they've got no, their director of football has got no say in what's going on.
He's got more power than him because he sacked the last one. So if he got rid of the last one and the new guy walks in, this new guy thinks, well, he's got more power than me.
He's there, Brendan Rodgers, and he's probably he'll get a good style of football going there, and they'll work out the passing out from the back with whatever players they end up with, and they'll be sound, and they might have a good run, and they'll get to see a bit more exciting football or whatever. They'll dominate more up with the possession. It's a bit after the Lord Mayor's show. It's at its day. Football is about to evolve into another thing, and they're still trying to learn how to be 2013-14 Liverpool or 2011 Swansea or 2009 Barcelona. You know, that's they're miles behind the times with all of this stuff. And if they bottle it at any point, which their fans might force them into, because there's fucking loads of them, and their heads will all roll, and they'll have the same arguments. Fair, you got time, and well, you know, Chelsea sack managers all the time. We need to be demand more for Manchester United. They will sack him, and they'll bring another guy in, and he's got a 5 foot centre half that he's bought from the Dutch league. He's got a five-foot
left back
that he's bought from
Moyes
the Dutch league.
And Mourinho and, you know, all of the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, all the lads that have gone before. That's the problem.
Frankenstein squad.
It's probably still Cristiano Ronaldo who doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, and Ferguson then. You've got Ferguson playing and Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Frankenstein squad.
They just need to make Ronaldo the manager and get on with it.
They're absolute shambles. We need to go there. And like I say, just run the nuts off them. It's going to be bad there anyway, because I know they're doing protests and stuff, so it's going to be a hostile place anyway for their own fans. Usually when we go there, it's the entire focus, and I've been there, it's horrendous sometimes. It's all on us. It's you couple of thousand there, and the 11 lads who aren't in red on the pitch are the focus of the blame. On Monday, it's going to be internal. It's like going to dinner with another couple who have just had a massive row. It's going to be really, like, you're just sitting there thinking, let them just get on with it, and we just have a nice dinner and go home. Yeah. Liverpool just need to go in there, let them kill each other, and just score a couple of goals,
what's
and we'll wander
what's
away.
What's with the lads who had the like walk out on 73 banner who were still in the stadium at like 85? Have you seen that? Have you seen that picture?
That's an advertisement for what they're going to do on Monday.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. That's
because it didn't say that, Paul. Yeah, it said walk out on 73. So there might have been lads who saw and go, right, we're all walking out on 73, lads. Yeah. And they got off and they're like, why haven't they gone?
Yeah, they missed the tweet.
The sales of Norris scarves have gone through the roof.
They're doing the club shop, they moved up north. They're doing this walkout, aren't they, on Monday? I mean, Liverpool can definitely help with that. That'd be great.
They did it last year. Mo Salah did it last year.
But and that'll help. That's why they've chosen this game. Is like, well, you need a shot in the arm, don't you? It's like having I'm going to start a race, but I'm going to start racing downhill.
There's no way if somehow they're winning the game, they leave.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, they need us. They need us to win. So let's just have Liverpool win. Right, more on this, of course, on the build-up show, which will be on Thursday. Do tune in for that one. We have got an extra podcast show. We're going to be going live on Red Men Plus shortly after this one with Red Men Extra, which is the top secret uncensored Red Men show with the stuff, the topics, the words, the language that we couldn't possibly put out on the open platforms on YouTube, Spotify and all that kind of stuff. So if you want more uncensoredness from me, Chris and Steve, and you want to know what my story about getting
about being pantsed and all that, then please head over to Redmen Plus. We'll see you over there for that one. Loads of extra content each and every week, of course, on redmenplus.com. Geno Insight with Neil Jones is tomorrow. Around the League was yesterday, which had a heavy focus on the state of Manchester United. Always good stuff.
It makes us feel better, doesn't it? That's the thing. Does. It fills you up inside.
I'm glad. If they were good and we were, well, it was just a sticky period, I'd just be having flashbacks to your childhood.
Shit.
Yeah. Big time. Right, that's it for the podcast.
How's Anthony Gordon going for 45 minutes?
Hilarious. And more probably.
AG10 boy. What a Reggie.
Wow, that's mental. Did you see that? No. His registration plate.
It's AG10 boy.
Sell him. Give him away.
Mentally, he'd gone as soon as he ever fans saw that guy.
When he turned up in a pre-season outfit and they went, oh no, we can't have another lad with my fashion sense. It's the least Everton thing ever. Like, it needs to be in Lonsdale's and three-quarter length tracky bottoms. Anyway, that's the podcast for this week. Another one next week. See us over on Podcast Extra very shortly if you're already subscribed, and if not, after the fact in podcast or in video form. You guys are the best, even if people aren't quite right now. Ta-da. If you want more, an extra Redmen podcast each and every week, but you're unsure what the best platform for it, well, the best platform is, of course, redmenplus.com. But if you are absolutely married to Spotify, if you cannot live without Spotify in your life, you can get the Redmen Plus podcast there now. Simply search for us on there, sign up through there, and you'll be able to access all of the new weekly podcasts from Redmen Plus directly in your Spotify app.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.